The following interview was conducted with Ron Holland on behalf of the Madison County Online Encyclopedia and Digital Archive. It took place on July 9, 2018 at 7 Chaparral, Glen Carbon, Illinois. The interviewer is Greg Kessler. Okay, so I usually start out by asking just you to say your name, where you graduated from high school, and when.
Yeah, Ron Holland, graduated from Grand City Senior High School in 1966.
Okay, I think I'm going to move this closer because Okay. So when did you get interested in music?
I was around 15. It was the first year that I couldn't play baseball. Didn't have a team to get on.
Oh.
And there happened to be my uncle's old acoustic guitar was in our garage, and we didn't pay much attention to it. We played around with it a little bit when we were younger kids, but never learned to play anything. And a friend of mine could play a simple melody of Tom Dooley or some old folk song, and he showed that to me, and I started playing it, and I kind of thought, well, that's fun, you know. I didn't have anything else to do for the summer, so I started playing around with that thing and took a few lessons and learned a little bit, and then kept on playing. Eventually got an electric guitar.
What was your first electric?
My first electric was a Dwight. It was actually made by Gibson, but it was a more economical guitar that was sold out of Sonny Shields' music store in East St. Louis.
Okay.
I went there. The teacher I had taught me in downtown Granite City, but he was worked out of that store. And it was a Dwight. It was a double cutaway, red, nice guitar. I wish I still had it. I don't even remember what happened to it.
Who did you take lessons from in Granite?
I can't remember his name because I was 15 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And his first name was Keith, but I don't know. And he played around a lot in St. Louis area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you started playing when you were 15. What was the first things you learned?
I started learning when I took some lessons. At that time, lessons consisted of learning to sight read music, which a lot of people don't do that eventually anyway.
Right.
So I only took lessons probably for about 6 months or so. But what I really learned from him was in chords, and so I practiced playing chords. And I had a guitar exactly like that. That's not the same one, but it's exactly like it.
Okay.
That's why I bought that, for sentimental purposes.
What was the first song you learned? Do you remember?
Tom Dooley.
Oh, it was Tom Dooley.
Yeah. And
okay.
Then after that, when I got an electric guitar, I started playing, I would go down to Jack Johnson's music store in Granite City and buy a sheet music. And I bought a song called Abilene and songs that were hits, you know, on the radio. And that was a kind of a crossover, a pop hit, but really a country song. So I would learn that. And it had chord charts at the top, and it had the lyrics. And so I would try to play those chords and try to sing it. Or learn the melody and have somebody else play the chords to accompany it. So that's kind of how I got started, was doing that thing. And then the Ventures were big then. This was pre-Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
The Ventures were playing. This was around 1962, 61, 62. Started trying to play Wipeout and Apache and things like that, Pipeline, you know, instrumental guitar songs. From there, eventually tried to create a band, you know, and so I have a twin brother, Don, and he liked my electric guitar and he wanted one too, so he got one. So he didn't take any lessons, but I taught him. I taught him chords, so I tended to play the lead and he played rhythm for me. My younger brother, Gary, who was three years younger, he had already been taking piano lessons since he was, I don't know, 10 or so. So we got together with another guy, Gene Hudson, who we knew through a church, and he had been playing for quite a while. He was a better lead player than me, so I switched to bass. And somewhere along the lines, we picked up a drummer. And the name of that group was The Dimensions. And we played a few little jobs, but not much.
Where'd you play at?
Our first job was actually at a grade school in Mitchell, Illinois. I don't even remember what it was, but we played that job. We probably didn't make but $5 a piece or so, you know. And we played a junior high dance at the Y in Granite City, which was on Friday night. Saturday night was the high school kids, but we played in junior high, and that's what we did then.
So was that Teen Town?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
It was. But Teen Town was referred more to the Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We were playing for younger kids on a Friday night.
Okay.
And then on Saturday night, the coachmen were playing for the Teen Town.
How long did you have to play?
You know, I think it was 4 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys had 4 hours worth of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We repeated a few. Well, you know, you always say, well, we had a request to do this one again, whether we did or not. You know, everybody does that.
Was this still pre-Beatles? Or was this after?
No, we're probably after that. Then.
Okay.
The Beatles hit, we first started becoming aware of them, I think, late in 63 was when they started playing Beatle tunes in this country. So, and that's the thing. Once they hit, you know, everybody wanted to be in a band then. Well, even guys who hadn't started playing yet, you know. We were fortunate because we'd already been playing for a couple of years anyway. At least we could do a little bit.
How long ago did that band last?
Let's see. I would say probably 3 years, 3 or 4 years maybe.
Okay.
But we didn't play a lot. We mostly just got together and had fun. And, other than that, at the YMCA on Fridays, that was kind of toward the end of that band. In fact, we had a female drummer named Vicky Couch for a while out of Grant.
Really?
Yes. Uh-huh. We did.
That must have been...
Yeah, yeah. And, but then, you know, she left. There was a couple of times when we had a booking and she had a date or something and said she couldn't play. Well, that was kind of the end of that. I don't know if I should bring that up.
That must have been revolutionary in 1960, whatever.
We just happened to know her through a church also, and that she played drums, and she was pretty good too. But anyway, we ended up getting Chris Hamless, and he was very good drummer. So I can show you a picture of that group.
Yeah, sure. So this band broke up. How many of the people stayed into
this
the next band?
This band did not break up.
It didn't?
No. What happened was I graduated high school in 66, and that summer we continued to play the same band here. And then my twin brother, went into the service.
Okay,
he went in August. So we replaced him because he did most of the singing. And we replaced him with Jim Simpson, okay, who was, I think, in my younger brother's class, 68 probably. So that fall, it was that group, but Jim Simpson instead of my twin brother.
Okay.
And then the coachmen were playing the Saturday nights at the Y, Teen Town, and they broke up around December. It was late in the year, November maybe, of 66. And one of the people in that group was Rich Hodshire. And he needed a group because he was the contact with the Y, you know. He kind of was the leader of that group, I guess. And he just approached us and said, you guys want to play Saturday nights at the Y? You know, we'll be a new band. We'll change our name. We'll change your name.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did was he joined our group. We had two keyboard players, which was odd. But I think Rich was thinking that I might not, you know, go if my brother, who played keyboards, my younger brother, didn't come too. You know, he never really even asked me, but I wouldn't have wanted to do that. But so far, there for a while, we had two keyboard. And then he brought in a singer, Denny Henson, who was a really good singer. And that was the Rising Suns. And so originally there were seven of us.
Okay. So that's late 66?
That's December of 66 is our first job was in December. I just remember that.
And that's the show at Teen Town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
Were you playing essentially the same set, or had you changed it up to different things?
No, it changed quite a bit, because we had Denny Henson now, who could sing anything. So we did some Beatles songs, you know, which we hadn't really. We did a couple, but we could do more of this now. You know, but still, those groups then, especially us, we did pretty much did top 40, you know, mm-hmm. popular songs. We just learned and play those songs.
Where else did you play besides Teen Town?
You know, we played at a place called The Castaway over in St. Louis. I think it was somewhere near the Loop.
Okay.
We played there two or three times. We played at the Rainy Days out in west of St. Charles somewhere. Then we would get jobs, like we had a job down in Steelville, Illinois. It was just some teen dance or something down there in high school, and those kind of things. You know. But and you know, we didn't play all the time. We played most weekends, mm-hmm. but I don't know if there was that much work. You know, maybe there were more bands there than there was work for. I don't know. But.
What kind of money were you making?
Oh,
at shows?
No, it wasn't much at all. We probably got. When we were playing at Teen Town, I don't think we made more than $20 a piece or so, somewhere around there.
What about these out-of-town shows, like over in St. Louis, things like that?
I think they paid a little better. We'd use maybe get $30-$40 there.
Were those shows where you were playing by yourself when you were playing over in St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like 4 hours?
No, I'm sorry. I take that back. Not The Castaway. The Castaway was... sometimes there were two bands. Actually, the Allman Brothers played there, and we played before they did, but nobody knew who they were then. They were called the Allman Joys, but it was the Allman Brothers. And it was before they hit it big, and they were playing the Southern Blues then, mm-hmm. you know. And we just, you know, we watched them and we were in awe. They were with their musicianship. But that's kind of, you know, we opened for the Allman Brothers, even though they weren't the Allman Brothers then. You know?
So what year do you think?
We wouldn't have opened for them if they...
What year do you think that was?
I think that had to have been probably 67.
Okay.
Yeah. Because our first job was December 66, so we played through 67. Mm-hmm. And then I played until August 68. August 68 is when I went to service.
Okay.
So, and then they played for a while after that, but I was out of touch then in the Army. I don't know where they were playing.
Did anything change in 67? I mean, 67 is sort of seen as the, you know, that summer of love thing. And so did the shows change, or the crowds change, or didn't in St. Louis, did it just can sort of continue on the way it had been?
Yeah, I didn't see much difference, you know, because like I said, we were still playing whatever people heard mm-hmm. on the radio, you know.
You weren't surrounded by people in beads and...
Mm-hmm. No, very few of those guys in this area. There were some. You know, I had a couple of buddies who, they joined right in that. Yeah, you didn't see as many people with long hair as you do, as you did, you know, maybe if we went to St. Louis, we saw a little more of that. A more diverse crowd.
During this time, were you looking at writing originals at all?
No.
It wasn't even a thought?
No.
Why do you think that is? Was it just not...
Mm-hmm. it's probably hard to do.
But it just never came up. It was just never part of the.
No, I don't think we had any big ambitions. I think we were somewhat limited. You know, what we could do. Plus, with the circumstances, with the war going on and people going into service, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to hang on. You know.
Did you? And you actually, you just said it was. Was there any thought given to taking this to another level? To you know, packing up and going on the road or talking to record labels or anything else that...
No, not that I recall. No. Now, you know, there's a little bit of history there. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Del Rays.
Mm-hmm.
The Del Rays were the band, I think, in this area. And a couple of them, Jim and Rich Lang, brothers, they were from Muscoota. And they played at Collinsville Park Ballroom. Every Friday night, and they were very good, and I saw them, first saw them at, Danny Thomas had a St. Jude fund, you know, raising money for his hospital down in Memphis. And he had some, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs and some of the groups from the 60s. I don't know if you recall that name. But I'm trying to think of there were a couple of big acts there, and they played at the Keel over there. And I went over there and saw them. And the Del Rays were actually on that bill because they were the local band who were associated with Nick Charles, was a DJ in St. Louis.
Okay,
for a top 40 station. I don't recall the station. They were competitors with WIL. And so Nick Charles probably got them that gig. And I remember hearing them then, and wow, they're really good. And we ended up getting to play with them at Consul Park. And for, I don't know, I think a month. And then we played with them in Godfrey. This was on Fridays also. And we would open for them, and then they would play. But what I'm getting at is in February of 68, I just remember the month. I'm not sure. Because Denny Henson was our singer. Mm-hmm. And the Del Rays broke up, and they recruited Denny for a new group called The Guild. I don't know if you've heard of The Guild. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, they traveled and wrote original songs and were mostly regional, but that's, I'm just giving you a little evolution right there. Maybe lost my train of thought there, but
was there anybody else from the sort of the local scene, the people you knew that went on to do bigger things, that went on to
I'm kind of getting at that. Denny Henson, who I knew since grade school, he came with Rich when we formed the Rising Suns, and when he left our group and went with the Guild, he played with them for several years. And then he and another member of that band, Tom Kelly, went to California, wrote some original songs. I've got a couple of CDs that they recorded, they're really good. And then Mississippi River Festival up at SIU, have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I went up there because Dan Fogelberg was there. Well, Denny and Tom Kelly were with him. They were singing with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's the guy who kind of made it there, yeah.
Anybody else from the Del Rays, did they go on to do things, or is that sort of those two guys?
You know, not that I'm aware. I don't think they did.
Okay.
Because the Del Rays then, they still had Rich and Jim Lang, who were with the Del Rays originally. And then the other members of the Del Rays went somewhere else. That was Tom Bowles and Don Beaver and Denny Ambry. And Denny Ambry was their bass player for the Del Rays and was really good. I think he played with Chuck Berry on some nights at over at Blueberry Hill or somewhere around there. Very good bass player.
So. You said a few minutes ago that the fact that the war was going on and people were, you know, at risk for being drafted, did that cast a shadow over everything? Was that something that everybody worried about?
No, not consciously, but maybe, you know, in the back of their minds. You know, for me, anyway, because I was going to school at SIU, but I wasn't a serious student, you know, and I wasn't attending enough classes to keep my grades up, and it's just a matter of time, you know. On probation and eventually got drafted. Ended up going to night school to finish after I got out of the service.
Did other bands have that issue? Were there other bands breaking up and rotating because of the same thing?
You know, I don't really know. I would assume so. You know? Really kind of had to be. But
it wasn't like a topic of conversation that was just something that was going to happen at some point anyway.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the other guys in the band? A little bit more about...
Well,
what they did and where they ended up and
let's see
their parts in the band.
Now we're talking about the Rising Suns,
right?
And it was me and my younger brother Gary, who just passed away in April, this past April. What do you want? What he did?
Kind of what his involvement in the band was, and then what he did sort of afterwards.
Okay, yeah. He was a keyboard player, and he eventually went into service also. Spent a year in Thailand, and came home, worked a couple of different jobs, and then ended up having a career as a cartographer for the Department of Defense over in St. Louis, a map maker. Worked there for 30 years, and then I retired.
Was the Rising Suns the only band he was in? I mean, besides the band that preceded it.
No, you know, he played with a couple of other bands. I don't even recall the name.
Okay. Was this after he got back?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, you know, he played maybe 10 years ago. He was playing in a band. Played a few jobs. He played up at Stagger Inn with Rob. Canada.
Oh, really?
And a couple of guys that he was with that just, I guess that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
What about your twin brother?
After the service, no, he never played out again. He worked for a printing company. And in fact, he went out to Oklahoma. He's still out there now, but he's retired. But he was the customer service rep for Rolling Stone magazine. He actually they printed that in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So he got a couple of trips to New York, and because of that.
Did he continue to play on his own?
He still does. He goes down to the he belongs to the it's the Elks or one of those fraternal groups, and takes his guitar down there and plays and sings a little bit, you know, just for the heck of it, you know.
Yeah. So, and what about your drummer?
Chris Amos, yeah, he's deceased now. He actually, I had heard that he actually auditioned for a local production of Jesus Christ Superstar or something like that, and I think he got the lead or something. A pretty good vocalist, and I think he ended up getting into IT or software.
Okay.
As he moved to the New England area, and he was there for several years. Pretty talented guy. And the lead guitar player, he worked steel mills here locally, and I still see him on occasion. He's retired. Gene Hudson.
Did he end up in the service?
No, I don't think Gene ever went in the service.
Is he from Granite?
Yes.
Is he from the Hudson family? The Hudson Jewelers people?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
You just hear that name in Granite, and that's what I think.
Yeah, Jim Hudson. Yeah. I don't think he is.
Okay. So you're playing, and you played with the Allman Brothers, and you've played at these out-of-town shows and stuff. And how long in between you find out that you've been drafted and you stop playing is it?
Oh, it happens pretty quick. I think I only had a couple of weeks notice, you know, after when I got the notes pretty quick. So I just said, sorry, you know, and that's when they got Jim Harper.
Did you play one last show? I mean, did you have a...
I can't remember what my last one was. I don't think it was the Y, because I think when Rich left our group, Rich Hodshire, we didn't play at the Y anymore. I don't remember who replaced us. Been a long time now.
Did you see them at all after you left? Did you go and see them once Jim Harper joined the band? Or
No, didn't have the opportunity. I was in the service, don't get home much.
They didn't play out quickly? It probably took them a while to get things going.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't know how quick they had a job, you know, between the time I left and Jim replaced me. Probably pretty quick. he played the bass. A lot of times you can, because Jim is also a guitar player. A lot of bass players are guitar players also. So he could kind of, you know, follow, mm-hmm. watch the guitar player and then record his own.
Did your younger brother stay in the band?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
Did he stay
in the band until they dissolved, yeah.
Okay. Did he talk about shows or anything or what they were doing?
No, you know, I don't recall. I think he thinks that the band sort of, after I left, kind of was going down a little bit. Not that I had anything to, maybe, I think maybe we had just maybe run our course.
Mm-hmm. Did it change after that? Were they, or was it just, I mean, bands just sort of peter out. I mean,
well, I think over the course of time, there's more and more bands and more competition. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's fewer jobs, you know. I don't know. I'm just guessing now. Yeah.
Did you have any desire to play when you got back? To start a new band or?
No, not initially. I didn't. I happened to meet a guy. I still play, because I still play today. And I play a couple hours every morning just for relaxation. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to do it. I played whenever I got a chance in the Army. It wasn't a lot, but occasionally there would be a guitar, you know, and play a little bit. But a guy put an ad in the paper looking for a guitar player. So it was just two of us, you know, and we did more kind of just what you can do with two guitars and two voices, you know. And we played the Grog Shop over in St. Louis at the basement of the hotel over there on the river. We played out at the airport and we had like a 5-week gig and playing 6 nights a week. And I couldn't believe it, you know, because we weren't that good, you know. We weren't bringing anybody in, but it was amazing.
Was this right after you got back?
It was around 4 years after I got back.
Oh, okay.
I got back in 70. This was around 74, about that time. And so for a couple of years, I played with this guy. Then we met another guy who was a pretty good singer. He was from New York, upstate New York, and he happened to be here working at the Y. He was the youth coordinator or something there. And we got to know him. He happened to meet the guy I was playing guitar with. And then so we kind of got together, and then we picked up a bass player. We had, you know, Rob's dad, Bobby. You know, I've known Bobby for a long time. He's a pretty good bass player. We wanted him to come over and just, there were three of us, three guitars, really. I played also banjo and mandolin to try to mix it up a little bit. And we wanted to have a bass, and it sounded so good with the bass, we said, well, we'll have four guys, you know, we'll make a little less money, but we'll do that. So for about from 77 until 80, somewhere in 80, we played, you know, like I said, Round Round, Jacks Are Better, Stagger In.
What was it called?
Whiskers.
Whiskers?
And we all had beards except for Bobby.
Was that the last time you played in an organized thing?
Yes, yeah. I can show you a picture of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, just for the heck of it.
Yeah. Do you keep in touch with the guys that you played with in the Rising Suns, the ones that are still around?
No, I don't really. See, who's still around? Gene Hudson's still around, you know, Chris and then my brother are deceased, and Jim Simpson lives in Florida. Now, I saw him because he was up here when my brother passed, but no, I don't really keep in touch, but you know, you always have a connection with them. Mm-hmm. When you see them, it's like, you know, you're forever friends, you know. But we don't keep in touch. Everybody gets busy with their families.
I always describe being in a band as all the worst parts of being married. Your family, regardless of how annoying they become, so I understand. So I guess there's never been a talk of playing together.
No.
Just setting up and.
Yeah. Now, I mentioned the Guild. Well, they had a reunion in the, and they played from, I guess, 68 through a lot of the 70s, And they had a reunion in the 80s at Panorama in Belleville.
Oh, at the bowling alley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the basement there. And they used to play there a lot. We played there, too, when we were the Rising Suns. I kind of forgot about that one. But they had a reunion and a big crowd showed up because they were very popular in the whole metro area. They could do Beach Boys and anything. And I've got that on DVD. If you've never seen that,
did you go?
Yeah, I went. Yeah, I went.
Did you see a lot of people you knew, like people from other bands? And
yeah, it was. That was the first time that I had seen Denny Henson, for quite a while. And I got to say hello to him. And they did a good show. Very good. Then I saw him again at Mississippi Nights. They were doing a fundraiser there. And that was a few years later. That's the last time I saw them.
Did they play originals? Were they?
No, they didn't play originals. They might have had two or three, I'm guessing now, but I know they played mostly pop hits, played oldies and things like that. Things that had been big hits. I don't think Denny and Tom, who were two of the guys who then split and went to, California, and started writing songs. I don't know if there was much writing going on in the Guild itself, but there may have been.
Were there any of the other bands you can think of that were playing their own stuff at the time, even one or two songs? Or was it just not?
No, I can't. I can't think of that.
It just wasn't part of it?
No. I don't think people started trying to write unless they had ambitions to get signed to a label.
Mm-hmm.
That was still albums, There was no streaming or,
right,
or YouTube or anything like that.
And you think most of the bands around here were doing it for fun? They weren't looking
Because if anybody's really serious about it, they may have left the area. Gone to the coast. Okay. One of the coasts.
One of the other.
Yeah. Okay. That's my guess.
And it really doesn't, and people don't start, local bands don't start writing, it doesn't seem, until the 1970s. Yeah. That's my...
Yeah, I was just a kid playing in a band because it seemed like a fun thing to do,
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.